This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire
DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Holy crap, this is amazing.
They say that money ruins everything.
Yep.
I would at least like the option to try.
For me, I think Cyborg ruins everything.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
Like the new Doom Patrol TV show that I was super, super excited for.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, hey, here's a character that has absolutely nothing to do with Doom Patrol ever. He's now going to be in the show.
Booyah! Here he is.
Here's Cyborg. It has almost made me upset. Too upset to even care that Brendan Fraser is on the show as Robot Man.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be voicing because apparently Robot Man's going to be CGI'd.
Yeah. But he's going to play flashback stuff, I believe.
Well, here's what I think. I could be wrong.
Okay.
But one of the episode titles for Titans is called Doom Patrol. So they're going to get the backdoor pilot, right?
Okay.
On Titans. Cyborg will be on that, and he'll venture off to Doom Patrol, but I think like season 2 of Titans, he'll be back with the Titans, I would say.
Okay. I could go along.
Kind of like, you know, what the CW stuff does, you know, like with their big crossovers.
Yeah.
I could see them like introducing him with like being with the Doom Patrol or whatever, and then having star power, like, because not everybody knows who Doom Patrol is, right?
I mean, the way I look at it is,
so, I mean, if
anyone
you put Cyborg,
who's going to have the app,
yeah,
probably knows who Doom Patrol is.
Well, true. But, I mean, you got to think, like, big corporate mindset, right? Where you want to get newer people in. So, you know, everybody now probably knows who Cyborg is because of the Justice League movie or because of Teen Titans Go or, you know, Young Justice or whatever.
Right.
And so that would be his way of propelling that show, I guess, for a little bit, and then hopefully coming back for the Titans, which I'm cool with if he's on the Titans show.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be kind of interesting. But, I mean, he hasn't been in any of the promo stuff for it, though, right?
No.
At least not that I remember.
No. That's why I was saying, like, season 2 of Titans would be, like, something happens with him in the Doom Patrol, or who knows, you know?
Yeah.
And they filtering back in. Or maybe he's just like a guest star on Doom Patrol, because I don't know if he's actually part of the team or not. That part I wasn't clear about.
I don't think anything was really clear about that. Right? It just said that they cast the role of Cyborg.
Okay. Yeah. So it was kind of unclear, like the whole Young Animal run of Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
Which I know you didn't read, but.
Well, I just found an article right now, and it starts off saying Vic Stone has been a member of both the Teen Titans and the Justice League, but he's soon to add another team affiliation to his resume, the Doom Patrol. So it does, and I mean, this is from DC's own website, so it's not like a weird speculation place.
Right.
It says his role in Doom Patrol promises to be much meatier, though exactly what form it'll take is still uncertain. But in the show's description, it suggested that the Doom Patrol will be called to action by Cyborg, who comes to them with a mission that's hard to refuse, but with a warning that's hard to ignore.
Ooh. Now, is that for the Doom Patrol?
It's like, the Doom Patrol.
Okay, so it's not for the Doom Patrol episode in Titans, though?
I mean, it doesn't say.
Okay.
It looks like, what it looks like is that Cyborg is the one who not assembles the Doom Patrol, like they already exist,
mm-hmm.
but he sort of comes in with some sort of, you know, we got to do this, and now I am your leader.
He's like the Martian Manhunter of the group.
Could be, except way less cool.
right. And like 10 times more booyahs.
I would say an infinite number more booyahs because I have never heard Martian Manhunter utter the phrase.
Okay.
Oh, and I swear to God, if that crap happens, that would be so terrible. One time he, you know, shapeshifts into Cyborg.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's like, booyah, pizza.
Yeah. Burgers are better than tacos.
Well, see, because I was confused already at the beginning, because, like, Cyborg, you have Cyborg on the team and Robot Man.
Yes.
Which are pretty much the same person. No, of that not. Team.
No, they're not. One of them was
a robot and one a high school. I get it.
A high school football player.
I meant their function to the team.
Yeah. One of them is fully robot, and one of them is mostly robot.
So they're mostly the same person then.
Listen, one of them is going to be voiced by Brendan Fraser. And the other one is going to make me want to mute the TV.
Okay, so what have you read this week or the last couple weeks?
Well, nothing. Oh, I've read nothing. No,
you didn't follow Gary's post-it notes for you?
No, I did. I told you I read a lot of stuff.
Okay.
I did read Sideways.
Yes, yes.
Because you wanted me to.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good issue.
A good That's issue?
All. That's all. Oh my God. No, I thought
You're
it was
killing me.
I actually, I really liked. I thought it was a very good follow up to the way the previous issue ended with his mother dying, after he was ignoring all the calls and everything, and it's basically him going through his grief because he's like, I should have answered the phone, I should have been there, I should have whatever, you know, and he mm-hmm. as he riffs into the morgue,
mm-hmm.
but. No, I really enjoy it. I thought it was good, and it's him sort of trying to go back. Right, he went back to school.
Yep.
And he was fighting with everybody.
Yeah.
And then doing his stuff in the middle of the courtyard to bring the river to wash the kids away.
Yeah.
Or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, okay, so it wasn't as emotional impact per se as the issue before it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is still a heavy-hitting one, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's him as a teenage kid, and he's trying to act as he's okay and go back to daily stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a teenager, you know everything, and that doesn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it ends with the, what was it, the Seven Swordsmen?
Yeah.
With the Seven Soldiers, right?
Yeah. Asking him to join them.
Yes. Yeah, right when they show up, he's like, yeah, there's only six of you. And I forget who it was. One of the guys is like, yeah, smart kid.
Yeah, because one of them's like totally against them joining. Right?
Yeah, who was that? Shiny Knight?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I really like the issue.
Oh, absolutely. And another thing I like about it is it's another book that Zatanna is now featured prominently in.
Yes. Yeah.
Because for a long while, I mean, she was barely in anything.
Yeah.
And now we got Justice League Dark. We got this one. There was the Mystic U book that was pretty good. So I can dig it.
Yep. And then speaking, I know. Go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of Justice League Dark, did you read the second issue?
Well, of course I did. It was What'd very Alan Moore Swamp Thing looking field.
It was very bizarre.
Did you not like it as much as the first one?
No, I think I liked it more than the first one because it did a lot to advance the story. Like mm-hmm. the first one was like, oh, I have to go talk to this person because magic is dying. Now I have to talk to this person. Now I have to talk to this person. And this one, it sort of gave like a weird backstory on Wonder Woman with that bizarre orgy ritual.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thing where like all the people were combining and I'm like, I don't know what the heck is going on here.
Yeah.
But
they're all made of clay.
Yeah. But with I mean the whole thing with Dr. Fate when they went to talk
yes
to him
mm-hmm.
and it turns out that he's not who's this Dr. Fate? Kent Nielsen?
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And they break the jar and the other guy, Khalid,
mm-hmm.
I think, pops out and he's like, no, it's not. It's not Kent. It's Nabu is in charge, and he's trying to whatever he's doing. He's bringing the I just forgot. Basically, he's ending magic to do whatever, right?
Right. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Which...
What the hell are things called? The other kind or something? The yeah. other... Whatever it is.
Which means that hopefully the next issue is much more darker.
I mean, it seems like it's going that way, right?
Yeah, which I'm glad for.
Yeah, because there was that weird eyeless vampire thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Any idea what that is?
I do not know. But it looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it looks okay. It looks like something that Snyder would have thrown into some like weird book.
You know, when I saw it, it looked like what are they called in Resident Evil? That like climb on the ceiling? Are they lickers? Is that what they're called?
I know what you're talking about, but I've not played Resident Evil since the very first one, so it's been a while.
Me neither. That's why I can't remember what the hell they're called.
That weird,
but...
When you walk down that first hallway.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
that red thing that's up above you and you
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah. But yeah, I enjoyed this one. I want to say I enjoyed it more, obviously, because it had more Detective Chimp in it, and plus it had Fate in it, even though it wasn't Fate, but it's still Fate.
Well, it's still Fate, yeah.
So, yeah, that was really cool, because the first one, like you said, was pretty much just setting a table, and then all the pieces are in motion in this one.
Yeah, and the whole thing with Swamp Thing and Constantine. Basically, where Constantine is calling him out on, he's like, hey, you're not, I know you know more, and you know there's more going on than what you're letting on, so why aren't you telling people everything?
Right.
And he's just like, meh.
I'll speak in riddles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I enjoy this book. Yeah. Totally enjoy it.
It was one that I went into, like the series itself, was one that I went into hoping very much to like it, but not having huge expectations just based off of some of the New 52 stuff.
Right.
With Justice League Dark.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really good so far.
Yep.
And I have faith that it will maintain, I guess.
Yeah. I hope so too.
Yeah.
The only thing I thought was kind of weird about the book is like when Wonder Woman snapped on Zatanna, and force choked her up against the thing. Because she thought it was all her fault type thing. I thought it was kind of uncharacteristic of Wonder Woman. Because then, like, after that, she's like, oh, sorry. And then, like, everything's back to normal.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was like, really? Like, somebody, like, okay, I understand you're one of the big three, or most, you know, the Trinity. But you just, like, choked me up against the wall? I'm not going to be like, oh, now we're cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think... I'm trying to think, why did she do that? Because Zatanna was doing something with the magic, right? And Wonder Woman was like, no, you gotta stop because you almost killed everything.
No, she thought right? she almost killed everything.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, she just snapped on her and, like, choked her and threw her up against the wall. And then, like, two panels later, it's like, okay, we're cool again.
Yeah, but, you know, no, she's in a world she's not
overly I'd say familiar. Some backwards words.
Hey, listen, if you were a kid and you were walking through the forest and you saw these naked clay women forming together to make weird who knows what with a bunch of arms and heads running after you in the woods, and then you were older and some weird crap is going on with magic, you would be freaked out too.
Well, yeah, but I don't know if I'd like force choke somebody and throw them against the wall and then expect us to be cool afterwards.
Hey, she didn't force choke anybody. She picked her up by her neck. Actually, by her collar, I thought.
Well, I'm not talking forced, like force as in like Star Wars. I'm like, yes, picked her up by her throat with force and threw her against the wall.
Listen, Wonder Woman is not a Jedi.
I know. That's what I'm trying to explain to you.
Well, you're doing a poor job because you keep saying she used the force.
I'm saying she used brute force, not the force. Damn it, man. Speaking of brute force.
Okay.
I'm going to switch books on you, and I know you're not caught up on this one. I could probably almost guarantee it. Damage.
You would be almost correct.
Almost because you haven't read last week's?
You are correct.
Okay.
Yeah. I am one behind. Wait, there was the annual was the last one that came out?
Yeah.
Then I think maybe I'm two behind.
Yeah, the Unknown Soldier was the one before that.
Oh, yeah, I did not read that one.
Yeah. But it's definitely not my favorite of the New Age of Heroes books.
Right.
But I'm enjoying that, though.
Yeah, it...
I really like the concept of, like, because you know he's going to be in a predicament. I really like the concept of the countdown clock, right?
Right.
Because you know there's going to be a predicament where he's fighting, like, tooth and nail with something, and then the countdown clock expires.
Right.
And then the oh shit clock starts. Because...
Yeah. Well, as soon as it ends, isn't he basically just, like, incapacitated?
Well, he's just, like, spent. Like, energy spent.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, say he's fighting, you know, Superman, and the countdown hits zero, he would just be like, and just kind of pass out.
Kind of, yeah.
Because every time, at least that I remember, like, any time he's about to run out of time, he always takes off somewhere, and it's, like, unconscious in the jungle or something, yeah. Something like that.
Because, like, he's so emotionally and physically spent, like...
Right.
But... In the annual, it kind of explains that more, so I don't want to spoil it. But, yeah. So, like, when you're going to fight some big, huge thing or things, and then the oh shit clock is going to start, and then all of a sudden, what's going to happen then? So it's almost like he needs to be strategically put in missions where he can get it done and in and out in a certain time.
Right.
But, you know, things don't always go as planned.
Yeah, I mean, he does have that.
Look at this,
like,
podcast, for example.
What are you talking about? We are totally on point, always.
Mostly always.
Yeah. Like 60% of the time. Maybe 40 to 45.
Yeah, I would say 40 to 60 range-ish.
Yeah, no, like, I was going to say, that book, it's, I enjoy it a lot, but it's every time you think that they're going to go a certain way with the character, you know, Venditti, like, changes it just a little, so it's different than what you were expecting.
Right.
Because, like you said, I mean, he fights something, once he turns into damage, he has an hour, and then it's, you know, so how many times can you see that pattern kind of repeat?
Right.
But I like... You know, how he's starting to be more aware when he's damaged, trying to talk, you know, talking to the monster, and the monster is talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that it's going way differently than what I had expected.
Yeah, and there's more of that in the annual, so.
Awesome. Yeah, this week is a lighter book load, so I should be able to catch up.
Yeah, it's the fifth week.
So. Yeah.
Which usually our fifth week partner... has other thousands of podcasts to do, so he can...
Well, he might be able to join us.
Well, he could, but we didn't ask him, so...
Yeah, that's a good... Well, I mean, we still have another week.
Oh, true.
So maybe he'll be busy and not listen to this before.
Yeah, probably. and live chat with us about it, and we're like, dude, I don't remember what I said yesterday, nonetheless, like... last week when that episode came out.
When he's like talking to the two of us in the chat and he's like answering questions and stuff, and I'm like, dude, I have no idea what you're even talking about. Right, and you're like, I'm pretty sure he's just listening to the episode. I'm like, oh, I don't know what we talked about in that episode.
Yeah, it's like the drunk guy at the party. And you're not at his level yet.
Yep.
And so in his mind, it makes sense, but you're just like, what are you talking about, buddy? So then either one of two things happen. Either you walk away confused still, or you drink more to get to his level so you can have a conversation.
Yeah. Before we go on to other books, speaking of fifth weeks, you know what? I mean, there are a couple annuals. I think there's a Silencer annual. I think there's a Red Hood annual.
Yes.
You know what else there is?
Not until you tell me.
Oh, there's more DC Looney Tunes books.
Oh, I did see one that I wasn't really... I was like, really? But
there's
tell me the list.
Which ones there are. There's a Catwoman with Tweety and Sylvester.
Yeah, and that one... I mean, that matchup is like a given, right?
Yeah. The one that I'm really confused about it, I think Harley Quinn and Gossamer.
Okay. Yeah, that one's weird.
I like Gossamer, but I don't like Harley Quinn. But Gossamer is just like a giant hairball, so it's not like he's going to do anything anyway. But right. I'm curious. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious about that one. There's the Joker and I'm trying to remember. I think Joker and Daffy Duck.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a Lex Luthor and Porky Pig.
Yeah, that one. I was just like, we've already got Porky Pig with somebody.
But not Lex Luthor. Maybe he'll be like his janitor or something.
Well, do you really think that this issue is going to be as awesome as the first time we got a Porky Pig?
Yes.
No, because we didn't expect the first time to be as awesome as it was.
And that's why this one is going to be equally as awesome.
This one will be the Hong Kong Fooey Black Lightning letdown.
No. Okay, out of those four, I'm going to say that the Harley Quinn Gossamer is going to be the Hong Kong
Fooey. Well, I wasn't counting that one because that was a gimme. I really do like that they're doing this. That's kind of weird coming from me, but...
Yeah, no, I like it. And I think that they may have put out like a collected volume, like a volume one and volume two with the four or five other books. But I'm holding out hope that they do like a nice hardcover and collect more than four issues.
Oh.
Because I would get that and put that on my shelf.
So you're saying you think they put out a trade also, of the first one, but not a hardcover of the first one?
I don't think it's a hardcover, but I think I saw somewhere that there was a DC Looney Tunes Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Of trade.
I think.
Okay, well, I'm looking at that because if it's a hardcover, this might have just turned into Nerdy Legion.
Where you're buying something?
Yes.
This is our Kickstarter corner.
Yeah.
At the end of the episode, you get 14 notifications that I just backed new things. You know, in a way... It's a good thing that Kickstarter, like the comic book stuff on Kickstarter, doesn't have licensed properties.
Yeah, I know.
Because holy crap.
Yeah.
If there was like, yeah, we're kickstarting this new Batman book or something, I'd be like, well, shit, I want to read that.
Yeah. Okay, so yes, the first volume is only in paperback, so it's safe.
Okay.
But it has Batman and Elmer Fudd. Yosemite Sam and Foghorn Leghorn and Jonah Hex.
Is that the Jabberjaw Aquaman one? Or is that the volume two?
Maybe volume two, because this one has Wonder Woman and Tasmanian Devil.
Oh, okay.
And Lobo and Roadrunner and Wile E.
Hmm.
And then Marvin the Martian and Legion of Superheroes?
What?
Yeah,
I miss that one?
I guess, because I don't remember reading that one.
I don't remember reading that one either.
Because it says, okay, when Elmer Fudd sets his sight on Bruce Wayne, it's a wabbit hunt you'd never imagine. And then Prospector Yosemite Sam strikes it rich, but circus performer Foghorn Leghorn and bounty hunter Jonah Hex keep him alive long enough to enjoy it. And then Wonder Woman enlists the help of the Tasmanian Devil to save the Amazons. Lobo gets caught in a war between a mutated Roadrunner and a wily super genius of a coyote, and the last survivors of Mars fight over the fate of planet Earth when the Legion of Superhero needs help and make a wrong turn at Albuquerque, and the future's survival depends on Super Bugs Bunny.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't remember reading those.
Yeah, that one does not sound familiar.
No.
But I'm hoping at some point, I mean, I know Looney Tunes and Hanna-Barbera aren't the same thing, but wasn't there a Green Lantern Space Ghost book?
Yeah. That was this last time, I thought.
No, because that's Hanna-Barbera. That was a while ago, I thought.
Oh, it was during the first ones?
I thought, because they did something with Captain Caveman too, right?
Captain Caveman was a backup story.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. The Space Ghost one was... The ones with the last batch with Hong Kong Fooey and Black Lightning and some Space Ghost.
No, I don't think so.
And then you had Dino Mutt and Super Boys.
That one I remember, but I don't think the Green Lantern Space Ghost was part of it.
So you're saying it was like the Elmer Fudd?
It was something. Yeah, maybe. Let's see. When did this come out? This one came out March of last year.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It was. It was with the Superman Top Cat.
Yeah.
Nightwing, okay. Megilla, Gorilla. Yeah, then there's a Green Lantern with Huckleberry Hound. I don't remember that one. I remember Flash and Speed Buggy. Yeah, I remember. I don't remember Deathstroke and Yogi Bear.
Deathstroke and Yogi Bear?
That's what it says.
I don't think... Did Deathstroke and Yogi Bear come out yet? I thought that was in the next wave.
It says... Let's see. On sale... Oh, yeah. On Halloween. Yeah. So the Green Lantern, Huckleberry Hound, and the Nightwing, Megilla Gorilla, and the Superman Top Cat are all available on Halloween is when they come out.
Okay. With Deathstroke and Yogi Bear.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and the second volume of them, which looks like it has Super Sons and Dino Mutt and all that, is going to be... That comes out around Christmas.
Okay. In trade.
Yes.
Okay. So then maybe by C2E2, they'll have a big hardcover of the first two volumes.
Yeah, I would buy those.
Yeah.
I would. Right. I mean, if it showed up on Kickstarter, I would definitely...
We'd already be backing it.
If I back it at this level, I can also get two extra pages of Sunday Comics from 1936, which is the first surprise appearance of Huckleberry Hound.
All right, what other book do you want to talk about?
Did you read the Adventures of Super Sons?
No.
I want to talk about that.
We'll talk about it.
Well, I'm not gonna if you haven't read it.
Well, I talked about... Okay, I'll make a sticky note, and then we can talk about it next time.
Okay.
If you don't want to talk about it.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get too into it if you haven't.
Yeah, well, it is what it is.
All right, well, basically, after everything that happens, there's a weird group of villains that's basically like Joker Jr., Ice Princess, which is like a teenage girl killer, Captain Cold.
Okay.
There's Kid Deadshot. There's the kid version of Brainiac. Mm-hmm. And I forget. I think his name is Rex Luthor. And he has
that's original.
Yeah, I know. He has this golden kryptonite that apparently not just weakens super people, it's like completely drains their powers.
Really?
Yeah, I forget what dimension or some crap they're from, but they're from somewhere. And they're coming after the Super Sons. So it's kind of... Yeah, the gold kryptonite thing was kind of interesting.
So this... So does this start the last part of it? Or is this still continued from the original series?
It said... let's see, where was it?
Is it 1 of 12, or is it...
This is 1 of 12.
Okay.
But it takes place between Super Son 16 and the Superman special number 1.
Okay.
And I'm going to be honest, I do not remember what happened in either of those. Like, I don't, to pinpoint it on the timeline, I'm like, I don't remember. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll have to go. It's one of those, I should go back and reread, at least like skim this just so I can remember. But
makes sense.
I'm sitting here reading everything else. I'm like, I'm not going back.
Do you think it's just as good as the original series then?
Yeah, I mean, Tomasi's writing it.
Okay.
I forget who did the art. I don't remember. Carlo Barbary, maybe?
Okay.
Sounds familiar. I think he does the pencils. But yeah, I mean, the book, it looks great, and it's written the exact same, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good. I mean, you like the other book. I think you'll like this a lot.
Okay. Yeah. I did. There was just other stuff that I read before it.
Yeah, I hear you. Did you read Action?
I did read Action.
I think my favorite part of this issue was on the first page, all of the little sticky notes on Clark's computer.
Uh-huh.
Some of them were pretty amusing. I think my favorite one out of all of them was the Black Label pitch.
Yeah.
Right, in Tornado Year One.
Yeah. I'm wondering if there was stuff in there that was in there for like throwaway stuff. I mean, obviously, but if there was like stuff in there that could come back later on, too, if that makes sense.
You mean his reminder to return Bruce's wedding gift?
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, obviously that's thrown in there because of whatever, but... And then you had some, like, investigate Jin Jess Chin, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Or...
Yeah. See, a lot of it was, like, storyline related, too, because one of the notes was, like, to profile the new Queen of the Sea, Mira.
Mm-hmm. One of them was, like... underfunded, underused, what's the future for Checkmate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you had the one note about your cousin called, said she and the dog are fine.
Yeah. And then, like, Hall of Justice photos from Jimmy.
Yeah.
And then John's school, like, with the actual phone number on it. So, like, in case he needs to call the school.
Yeah.
Because I have one of those on my monitor.
Well, this is the thing, though. The phone number for John's school and the phone number, there was another number for, let me look, for Melody Moore.
Uh-huh.
It's just one digit off. Like, what's the coincidence?
It's three digits off.
555-555-2015 and 2018. It's a 5 and an 8. It's a one digit.
It's 2015 and 2018.
Oh, my God.
So it's three digits.
I mean, at least the other number, the suicide slum shelter, was 1988.
Yeah. You know what?
No, I'm paying no attention to anything you say at this point because you're trying to tell me one different number and a phone number is not one digit off.
Oh, my God. Okay. And Jim Lee called.
Yeah. It's KG Beast tied to election hacking.
Yeah. Remind Bendis of eye appointment.
Good stuff.
Yeah. No, Yeah, I spent, like, probably an hour just reading the post-it notes, honestly. Well, I don't know about an hour, but...
An hour? Holy crap.
Yeah. And as Jay would say, a whole 2 minutes reading the rest of the book.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, we're getting more answers now about the fires and about everything else.
Mm-hmm. Guardians in it?
Yeah. Briefly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's in the whole thing, but only briefly in costume.
Yeah, I do like when I think the issue started, the people are walking on the city streets and, you know, something's coming flying through and they're like, up in the sky, it's a, you know, and like people are walking, oh, good, tourists.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be honest, that's, you know, living right outside New York City. Mm-hmm. That is how I feel every time I walk anywhere in the city. That you're trying to get any place and someone just stops right in front of you to take a picture of something. And you're just like, are you kidding me? It's a skyscraper. Just keep walking. Get out of my way.
So, like, taking a picture at a con, basically. Don't stop in the middle of the aisle.
Oh, listen. At New York Comic Con, you can stop in the middle of the aisle and take pictures because chances are you're not moving anywhere in that crowd anyway. Well, while I'm standing here for 4 seconds trying to get through this intersection, can I snap a quick picture? It's with the greatest Dr. McNinja costume I've seen.
Dr. McNinja? Is he next to the Nurse McNugget? I don't know. Back on topic. I liked where Clark was talking to Perry. And then he's like, excuse me for a second. And then he, like, go bust up an asteroid and then comes right back.
Yeah.
Like it, you know, it took him a whole 5 minutes to bust up an asteroid and then come back.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing I do enjoy about this Superman a lot is that you always wonder if, you know, when Superman's not being Superman, you would see sometimes – as Clark Kent, he would like quick, you know, in the movies, he'd quick run into the telephone booth and change and go do a thing.
Yeah.
But it's like the people around him when he's living his life have to wonder, like, what the hell?
Right.
So I'm fully appreciating this. It's like almost every issue of this or Superman or the Man of Steel series would have him like mid-conversation super fast, like, flying out and saving a kid in a fire and coming right back and like people don't even realize
that Clark's gone.
He's been gone or something like that. And it makes a lot of sense for the character, I think. I mean, I don't know if it makes a lot of sense, but it it feels right to me.
Yeah, yeah, I totally get that.
You would assume that he would be doing stuff like that all the time.
Yeah, like all the time.
Yeah,
and I think it's cool that Bendis brought back Cat Grant too.
Yeah,
because if to my recollection, I think she's been gone for quite some time.
She's been on Supergirl.
Well, you mean the TV show?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's why I didn't know, because I don't watch it.
Yeah, isn't Calista Flockhart her?
Okay. I don't even know who that person is. Good. But, you know, she was brought in like 87, I think, 87, 88, by Marv Wolfman and Ordway as a gossip columnist for the Daily Planet. And if Perry's like trying to keep the paper alive through the social media era, you would bring the best people back.
Yeah.
To do that. So I thought that was pretty cool. But, you know. And of course, we get to see. Okay. Last page, right?
Okay.
How is it that he knows that Lois is back, but he didn't know before?
That was what I was going to ask you.
Okay. Because, I mean, yeah. Like, it's your love of your life, and you've been married to her or dating at least for, you know, at this point, like 30 years now. So you know her heartbeat and her breathing habits and all that, and you have super hearing, and you scanned the Earth or the universe. I think that's what the last issue said, right?
Yeah.
And there was no trace of her, but then all of a sudden you magically show up, but theoretically she's been in town like a month.
Well, yeah, because at the end of, I don't remember if it was the end of the last action or Superman that she was sitting writing.
I thought that was the Man of Steel miniseries.
No, because didn't that end with them leaving?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So she was, like, typing away.
Yeah, because remember we were trying to figure out if that was her, if that was the reporter or whatever?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But the reason why I don't think he noticed her was because she had the dopey blonde wig on. With the beret.
Yeah.
And that, it was a lead wig.
But she didn't have it when she was at the hotel writing.
But that hotel room was lined with lead windows.
Or lead paint.
Yeah.
Why would you have lead windows unless you're in jail?
Listen, she knows how to protect herself from being spotted by Superman because, you know.
But, okay, it's still been at least a month because she was typing from then. And the book's already out and like a bestseller because Kat read it.
Well, no, I don't think it's a bestseller. I think that Kat got a copy of it because she's a gossip columnist that gets stuff.
Oh.
That was my interpretation.
Okay.
Because I think if Lois's book was out, Clark would have known about it.
Would he?
Obviously,
he didn't know his wife was back.
But I'm just saying, if his wife yes, explain wrote to me. Come a book on. That was a bestseller. You don't mm-hmm. think that he would know what a bestseller was? Like, everybody would be talking about this Lois Lane book.
Well, not really, because he's not a gossip columnist or the Barnes & Noble review person. He's a freaking news reporter.
He works at a newspaper.
Yeah,
people part-time. Would be like, hey, did you hear Lois has been missing for who knows how long doing some story, but she just wrote a book that's a bestseller. I mean, come on. You don't think people...
Yeah, Kat just said that in this issue.
Oh, my God. She said, but I'm saying, if it was a bestseller, everyone would be talking about it.
Everyone who? Like
everyone,
Bruce?
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Or Hal Jordan?
Yes, Bruce and Hal Jordan. They would be the ones.
They'd well, that's be like, what I'm saying. Kat just
Hal Jordan
me.
Would be like, hey, I just fought
Sinestro for the millionth time.
I just saved the universe. I'm working on fixing the source wall. But I read your wife's book.
My wife has a book?
Come on.
All I'm saying is it's taken him 2 weeks to realize, or however long it's been, to realize that Lois is back wherever she was at, that he couldn't sense her.
Right, but I think the reason why is because he's been preoccupying himself with punching asteroids.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So even if it's been two months...
But when he's
and it's a bestseller,
you don't
he still
think,
wouldn't notice.
You don't think people in the newsroom where his wife worked would be talking about a book that she wrote?
He wasn't even paying attention
all the time.
He wasn't even paying attention to Perry when Perry was talking to him because he was worried about the asteroid.
But he still understood he was supposed to find out about yogurt.
Yes. Yogurt and his sidekick, Frozen Custard.
Yeah, and the Schwartz.
Yes.
I just forgot what the other reporter's name was.
Cat Gray?
No. The girl that's chick? Writing. Yeah.
The one that goes for Kryptonite?
Yeah. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That I think she's starting to put two and two together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see how he will possibly sneak around the fact that she's going to try and trap him with Kryptonite when he's Clark Kent.
Yeah. Well, she's always been... God, what's her name?
I don't remember.
I know. But she's always been... We've always thought that she was sneaky, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's like just flat out.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking back through this issue, and I don't see her name. I don't see them. I mean, she's there, and she storms off or whatever.
What's her name?
See, I think...
Miss huh? Good? What's her
yeah,
last,
that's
first
it.
Name?
Yeah, Good. Her last name's Good.
See? So she has to be evil.
Yeah, because that's the fabulous writing by Mr. Brian Michael Bendis. But I think Clark's onto her, though. Because when she storms off or whatever, he's like paying close attention to her. Like storming off. Like something's wrong.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And you're trying to tell me that he doesn't pay attention.
Yeah. To them.
Oh, my God.
To weird people. And then he goes to the bar and like he goes to a biker bar and he gets loved on.
Yep. I like how they're all going to fight until he's like, I just lost somebody too. And then they're all like, we're good friends now.
We're bestest pals.
But I don't.
Your mom's name's Martha too.
Yeah. Everyone's mom's name is Martha. I think he does a good job of looking like a disheveled drunk, even though I don't think alcohol has any effect on him.
Yeah, probably not.
Like he musses up his hair. I mean, he's there just for information.
Yeah.
And he manages to get all of the information out of the guys about the fires and everything else.
Yeah. So, like, in my best announcer voice, like, we'll find out next time in Action Comics why Lois has been hiding, right?
Or do we find out next time in the other one, Superman?
Maybe. But my question is, though, isn't that. My question is more like, is he going to be pissed? Or not.
I mean, he looked pretty pissed.
Yeah. So is he going to go like full Injustice on us?
Oh, that would be so great if he flew her up into space.
We'd be like, yes, we've been waiting six years for this.
Finally, it ties in.
Brian Michael Bendis is the best Superman writer ever. Okay. So we beat that pretty much to a dead horse there.
To a dead Lois.
Oh. Yeah. You're the Punisher now, aren't you?
I don't get it.
Oh my God. Okay, so speaking next book.
Punisher?
What?
I said, speaking of the Punisher.
Yeah.
Silencer.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. And, like, reading this, I just remembered, like that she's going to be on Arrow.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, not like I just remembered this, but like when I was reading it, I was like, man, this is so awesome that she's going to be on Arrow because the book is awesome. Probably
the appearance on Arrow is going to be really bad.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But this is probably still my number two of all new Age of Heroes.
Oh, yeah. I think this is my favorite.
This is your favorite new Age of Heroes?
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
See? That's crazy to me. Because,
hey, look.
Like,
oh, no, like, I'm wrong.
What?
New Challengers is totally my favorite.
You're such a liar right now.
Yeah, I read some of the first issue of that one.
Yeah, I would say Sideways is my first, and then Silencer would be my second.
You know what? Right now, I would say Sideways is giving it a run for its money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But overall, story-wise, I would say that Silencer is my favorite.
Okay. And I think Brimstone just beats out Damage for me for the third spot.
I got to catch up on Brimstone.
You need to catch up on all comics.
Yeah, I know. See, this is the problem with comic books. They keep coming out every week.
That is not a problem, sir.
No, it is.
You can't keep up. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's, yes, that no. is part of the problem. When I was on vacation, I managed to read a lot, and now I'm back at work. And at least my boss is back now, so I can work normal hours for 2 weeks. But then he's having shoulder surgery, and apparently his doctor wants him out until the end of November. So from a week from now until the end of November, I will be working every day, like all day.
That's what we do as adults.
Yeah, but no one's supposed to work like 14 hours a day.
That is true.
But I mean, the good news is I might have a lot of free time to read comic books when I'm sitting by myself.
Yeah, waiting for the workers to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
It's all good. But this, I like how she has managed to set up the whole vacation where her husband and son keep going, oh, go on this. Nah, I don't want to go on this ride. I have a spa treatment. Or, no, I'm not going to do this. I got to, you know, I have to go finish whatever.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, keep sneaking off. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, look, I've been to amusement parks that have crazy-ass lines. I'm not sure exactly how, you know, she's able to sneak off when they do a ride and mm-hmm. come back. But mm-hmm. but still.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's definitely a plot hole that you could pick apart. But, I mean, if she's a badass silent assassin, then we can believe that.
Mm-hmm.
While they're in line for 3 hours, she can go kill somebody and come back.
Yeah. I think the ending of this one where the her and what's the metal guy? Quietus.
Yeah.
I think. Yep. The yep, two of them so. Freaky Friday it because yeah. of Lady Wishbone. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely
It's not where I was expecting it to go.
No, but it's not slowing down either. Like,
oh, no, it's still, yeah.
Like, you know, honestly, I figured it'd have, like, one arc and then, like, okay, now what? What are we going to do that's cool? Or
no, but I mean, it's a pretty yeah. consistent, let's mm-hmm. just keep going with this story.
Yep, I agree.
And I do like her son. And they're like, oh, let's go here to the, you know, whatever diner to eat. And he's like, I don't want to go to diners. There's people with guns in diners. And her yeah. husband's like, what? She goes, ah, you probably saw something on TV. She's thinking to herself, he's like, I really hope I didn't scar this kid forever.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for the shoe to drop. And her son or husband to be like Leviathan. I think it would be funnier if it was the kid.
Yeah. I still think that her husband's going to be
somebody.
An assassin, too. Mm. Like that Angela Jolie Brad Pitt movie?
Yep.
What was it? Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Mrs. Smith. Yeah. But, yeah. Good stuff.
Yep. There's only one other book I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
We haven't talked about it in a while.
Okay.
That's the all-new Super Sons. It's been, like, maybe 20 minutes since we talked about it.
Yeah? Yeah.
No, I'm joking. Detective Comics.
Okay.
I don't think we talked about it in a couple issues, but I guess the announcement was made, and I'm pretty sure we talked about the fact that there's going to be a Batman and the Outsiders book.
Yeah.
Which is going to be awesome. That's what we were hoping for.
Yep.
Actually, did we talk about that announcement? I don't even remember.
I'm sure we either.
Who knows? We talked. Let's just yeah. say we talked about it. Yeah. If not, we're talking about it now. So Brian Edward Hill is going to be writing that, and it looks like it's coming out of this detective story,
yeah,
which I fully enjoyed. I like, I don't think the last time we talked about this, I don't think we knew who Karma was yet.
No, we didn't. We talked, the last time we talked about it was Brian Edward Hill's first issue.
Oh, okay. So he's five deep now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Five deep, mic drop, and I'm starting my own thing.
Yeah, that's, I really enjoyed this arc. Even though yeah. I think Duke recovered too soon from his wounds and was in too much of the story, not just sitting in a hospital bed the whole time in a coma. But that taken away. Yeah, that Karma was, you know, basically just some random dude that Batman ran into in the Middle East who was torturing people.
Yep.
And Batman's like, oh, you want to torture people? Here's some scarecrow, you know, toxin. And now you can have some nightmares and see what it's like. Yeah. And it screwed him up so bad. And, you know, then he got that super alien helmet thing from whatever it was. Just forgot the name of the town. My goodness. I'm going to roll today.
Yeah, you're off your game tonight.
Whatever. Markova, right?
Yeah. Markovia.
You know, where there's all this crazy technology. And, of course, I guess the way end of the arc, you see the people in Markovia, and the guy's like, what are you doing? Like, why would you sell this to a guy in Gotham? And, you know, he's like, you have no idea what you just did. And she's like, no, I don't even care. And then she, like, laser blasts him with her eye.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this whole story arc was great. I really like how they brought Black Lightning in. Yeah. And towards the end, you know, I mean, Barbara, and he did not see eye to eye at all.
No.
But yeah. She's not in the Outsiders book.
No.
I don't think, right? It's Cassandra, it's Duke, and it's...
Katana.
Yeah, Katana. Was there a fourth person? I don't remember.
I'm not remembering either.
Yeah. But it's the relationship between Bruce my lord, I'm forgetting everything. And Black Lightning. Yeah.
Yeah.
How
Jefferson Pierce. Jefferson,
yes. There you go.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. I was thinking his name was Jameson. I'm like, that's not right. See? Been a long couple weeks for me. Yeah. But yeah, I like the relationship between the two of them, and especially how they left it, where Bruce was like, listen, just let me know whatever you want for your school, we'll take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, we could set you up with whatever.
Yeah.
But no, I'm very much looking forward to the Outsiders book.
Yeah, because not only is it Mr. Hill writing, but it's Dexter Soy doing the art.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So, I mean, you already have one hell yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw a fantastic artist on it as well?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little upset that he's not on Red Hood now, but...
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'll take him on whatever book. That's pretty much... That's my thing now.
Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of fantastic artists, I believe... I don't know...
Rob Liefeld?
What?
JRJR?
Oh, yeah, all of them. Miko Suyan,
yes,
apparently has been hired to do DC covers.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
So yep. I wonder if they're actually the DC covers, or if they're the Virgin covers. Or is that just the Art Germ ones?
Honestly, I don't know. I saw him either tweeting something or Facebooking something that he was just hired to do those. So.
Yeah.
He's been posting pictures that he's done of... like the sketch covers for people.
Yeah, from cons.
Of a bunch of DC stuff.
Yeah.
And he did one of the, the Batman Who Laughs?
Yes.
That was unreal.
Yeah.
And he's done a couple, like, fantastic Gal Gadot Wonder Woman drawings and other Trinity drawings and stuff that have been...
Fan-freaking-tastic.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that, and I hope... I know he's not the fastest of artists with, like, interiors, but I hope that it leads to him doing some interiors for DC also, because...
Yeah, especially since some of them are monthly now, so you think that takes pressure off stuff, stuff.
He could draw the next DC arc, because it's going to be delayed anyway. Like the big...
The next Snyder event. Arc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let him... He could do the new Geoff Johns book.
Okay.
Issue 1 will be out in January. Issue 2 will be out in January the next year. Issue 3 will be out 4 years from this February.
Well, you want to wrap this puppy up?
Yeah, you got anything else before we go?
Nope.
Do you want to talk about the Watchmen show?
Oh, yeah. So, HBO greenlit the Watchmen series, right?
Yes.
But it's not going to be...
The Watchmen?
It's basically... Yeah, it's not going to be the Watchmen that we know from the movie. It's basically going to be set in that era, or in that universe.
Not in that era, though. It's taking place in present day.
Really?
Yeah. Did you see that?
No.
That...
So that you could throw out my question then.
Okay. What was your question going to be?
Do you think we'd see the mime and marionette
in the series? I don't know. It takes place in modern day.
Yeah, it takes place in modern day, so no.
Yeah. Apparently, it's supposedly going to follow after Ozymandias basically staged the attack, you know, for the U.S. and the whatever.
Right.
It's basically how the world has changed since they signed some peace treaty.
Yeah.
And you know, apparently, I guess China is this new superpower. And yeah, it'll be interesting. I was
so since it's okay, I'm looking forward to it because it's HBO, right?
Yeah.
And HBO shows, like, whether you like it or not, like, Game of Thrones is a good production.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that aspect of it. I think it's in the right hands. But, like, speeding it up from the actual, like, I'm not going to judge it because, obviously, I'm not one of those Twitter douchebags. But
I mean, you are, but not that.
Yeah, type. Yeah. I mean, I am, but I just do it for fun. I'm not, like, serious about it. But, like, to me, it would be a lot more interesting if it was set in the universe, like, in that era, like, when it came out.
Yeah, that when they originally said that they're doing a Watchmen series on HBO, I assumed it was going to be, like, a 10 or 12-hour retelling of the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, like, the Snyder movie, which I love.
Right.
I thought it was going to be, you know, okay, here's... Now we can, like, really get into everything because we'll give it, you know, four times the length. Well, I guess two times the length of the extended director's cut.
Right. The best cut.
Oh, so good. So good. And that's another thing. I'm very much also looking forward to the fact that HBO will be showing the Watchmen movie over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. Soon. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when it was first announced that they were going to do this, that was on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I will watch that anytime I see it on TV. But yeah, when maybe it was last week or so where the articles were coming out that it's going to be set in present time instead of the like 70s, 80s. So I don't know. I mean, I think the comedian's obviously dead.
Yeah. Well, and plus it's like 20 years or 40 years.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you don't know. Rorschach is dead, I think. Yeah.
Well, Rorschach 1 is dead.
Yeah.
Because he blew up in the...
Right.
In the end of the movie, but, like, Doomsday Clock, we got the second one, so...
Yeah, but I hope that doesn't... I really hope that this Doomsday Clock has nothing to do with that show.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if it was in the same era, then I'd hope for the mime and marionette to be on there.
But, I mean... We don't know whatever happened to Night Owl. We don't know where Silk Spectre is.
Right.
We don't know, like, I mean, I assume that Ozymandias is going to show up as, like, a much older version of himself.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. So maybe.
But even though, like, if it was in that time, we could have, like, the before Watchmen characters. Yeah. Like the crazy magician guy. I can't remember his name, though.
Oh, yeah.
Or the Minutemen, right? Or, you know, there's tons of stuff that they could have played around with.
Well, but that's what I think the show might focus on also, that maybe the Minutemen, like, kind of inspired a new group of vigilantes.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, everything old is new again.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, kids nowadays are like, ooh, we love 90s music, and we're going to wear flannels and stuff, and maybe it'll be like...
Tight roll our jeans and wear penny loafers.
Yeah.
Only they're called dimes now or something. People put dimes in them.
Really?
Yeah, that's
a... Is that like a thing?
Yeah.
Lord, I'm glad my kids aren't old enough for me to realize how stupid kids are.
Yep. Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah, I know. I got a couple more years.
Yeah, you got a couple more glorious years before then you just like look at them and shake your head.
Yeah, well, my oldest was at his birthday the other day was just like, hey... Four more years, I'm a teenager. It's like, oh, no. No. You can wait. It's like, trust me, you can wait.
Yeah. All right, my friend, let's wrap this one up. What do you say?
I say, okay. Thank you all for listening to this week's episode of Nonsense. If you would like to get in touch with me on Twitter, you can at Aaron Esbell.
And I'm at Rombar316.
And you can tweet the show directly at DC_absolute and send us listener questions or whatever. I guess we did we get one. Any question?
I don't remember. Jay sent one.
Oh, about Batman?
Yeah.
You talk about Batman all the time, so...
I talk about it, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't read it, so I can't tell Jay how good it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. But anyway, thank you all for listening.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Welcome what?
Huh?
Well, hello, beautiful.
Holy nightmare.
It's the world's greatest super friends.
Ronnie and Aaron.
Yep. I feel like we have strongly different viewpoints before we discuss what each other's viewpoints are.
Faster than a streak of lightning.
A DC Comics podcast.
Absolute.
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I'll get into my silly speculation.
Aquaman!
I'm Batman. I'm Batman.
Batman.
He's a hipster.
The Flash, world's fastest human.
I mean, I grew up with Wally West. Is this okay? Is that, oh, as long as we don't get caught.
Think about the future.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Dude, you're a dumbass.
You are foolish.
All this nerd talk.
Ooh. DC Absolute. Exactly.
Hell yeah.
And, there's been some good. There's been some great. There's been some really terrible. And there's been some average, I think.
No, that wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Ooh.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com. Absolute worst piece of garbage ever.